Our scripture reading this morning is from John 7, verses 25 to verse 44. John 7, beginning at verse 25 and going through to verse 44. At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is, speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I'm from. I am not here on my own. But he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me." At this they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his time had not yet come. Still many in the crowd put their faith in him, and they said, "When the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man?" The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, "I am with you only for a short time, and then I will go to the one who sent me. And you look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come." The Jews said to one another, "Where does this man intend to go that we cannot find him? Will he go where our people live scattered among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What did he mean when he said, 'You look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. So far the reading of God's word, and may it be a guiding light unto our path. This morning we're going to focus on verses 37 to 39. I'd just like to read that again. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you thirsty? Have you ever really been thirsty? We take clean water for granted in our country. In some places in the world, people have to walk miles to find water. We simply turn on a tap, and there it is, and we take a sip. How long can you live without water? Our bodies are mostly made of water, and without it, quite simply, we die. According to scientists, a healthy human being under normal conditions can live only 3 to 5 days without water. Although shock and coma are likely to set in after 3 days. A child left in a car with the windows rolled up on a hot day could die in a matter of hours or even minutes. Human beings, like all living things, need water, not only to survive, but to thrive. And are you thirsty yet? The context of this statement by Jesus was the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. This was the annual celebration of the time when Israel wandered into the wilderness. As we look at the first part of John 7, it says, after this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brother said to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea. So at this time, Jesus was there at the festival. Thank you. He was there part of the Festival of Tabernacles. And it was an annual celebration. One of the things that they commemorated and celebrated was the water that God gave from the rock in the wilderness. And each day the priests would pour out water before the altar to remember that gift of water. It was in this context that Jesus said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. We also see another change in this context. When Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John 4, he was having a private conversation with a despised Gentile. Here we have Jesus speaking publicly in the temple on the most crowded day of the most popular feast of Israel. Jesus has taken a very direct and public stand. He calls the assembly body of Israel to come and follow him. There is no wishy-washiness here. Jesus is not being remotely seeker-sensitive here. He issues the call, are you thirsty? Come and drink. Do you desire satisfaction? Come and drink. Are you burdened by the bad things you've done? Come and drink. Are you weighed down by the struggles of life? Come and drink. Jesus calls and leaves us to consider our response. Jesus calls and sometimes something stirs within us to say, there's something right about this man. And not fully understanding, we follow. Jesus calls and we follow, knowing that understanding will come. We've probably heard stories of people who said they've read the scripture or they've gone to hear this speaker or that speaker and all of a sudden something drastically happened in their lives. They can't explain it, but yet they have this desire to come and drink, to learn more about who Christ is and what he's doing for their lives. Of course, Jesus was not talking about H2O. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus knew that after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, that he would send the Holy Spirit. You know, you can live a long time without eating, but not very long without drinking. Some estimate that about 2/3 of the body is water. In the same way, water is essential for physical life. The Holy Spirit is essential for spiritual life. When our hearts or souls thirst, it is for God's Holy Spirit. So I ask you again, are you thirsty? Once upon a time, there was a woman who was thirsty. She had been rejected by her community. She'd been cast off by men. Husband after husband after husband had divorced her and cast her off. She was shunned by the women in her small village. And her village was small enough that everybody there knew her history. On top of that, she was a Samaritan, a people who had been shunned by their own kin, the Jews. She was thirsty on many different levels. So one day she went to the well near the village to get some water. But when she went at noon, when she knew that the other women would not be there to sneer her and turn their backs on her, to her surprise, she was not alone. There was a man there, a Jew, from the looks of him. Jesus spoke to the woman asking for a drink. A conversation followed during which she discovered that he already knew her whole story, and yet he wanted to talk to her. He also offered her living water that will become a spring of eternal life in her. Realizing that he was the Messiah, she left her jar and ran to tell others. Jesus had given her the assurance that even though the Jews had rejected her, and even though the townspeople had rejected her, even though her husbands had rejected her, God had not. In fact, God's Messiah had even offered to share a drink of water with her. Sometimes we are like the townspeople of this woman. We see people around us. We shun them. We're afraid of them. We don't want to talk to them because we don't know what to say or how to say things, or we're afraid it will say the wrong things. But yet, we need to be like Jesus and recognize that these people too are rejected because of maybe the way they look, maybe the way they act, or maybe because of some other reason. But we need to offer to share a drink of water with them. But we also need to offer to share a drink of water that's not only just this water, H2O, but it's the living water, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and allowing the Spirit to be a part of their lives as well. There are a lot of thirsty people in our world. Steve was thirsty. He was going through what some would call a midlife crisis. He had been working for years in his career that didn't seem to be going anywhere. As he watched his parents age, he realized that time was running out. There were so many things he wanted to do in life, and the opportunities to do them seemed to be slipping away. He thirsted for meaning and purpose and fulfillment. Regina was thirsty. Looking at her, people would say she was a typical teenager. She made decent grades and was into a few outside activities. She had never really been in trouble except for a few tardies. But high school would not last forever. The real world waited for her. College, jobs, marriage, family. It all seemed so scary. Regina thirsts for acceptance, direction, hope, and peace. Catherine was thirsty. The kids had grown up and moved away. Occasionally she saw the grandkids, but less and less now that they were in school and her daughter-in-law had gone back to work. One day while she was at the grocery store, she suddenly found a 4-year-old with his arms around her knees, giving her a hug. He looked up and realized he had grabbed the wrong grandmother and ran off to his grandmother, who was further down the same aisle. At that point, Catherine realized that was the first time she had been hugged in a month, and it was by accident. Catherine was thirsty for assurance, for affection, for hope, and for love. Jerry was thirsty. He had made so many mistakes in life, some of them big and some small. He had hurt people and alienated people. He had lived for the day with no thought for the future. He was empty. Jerry was thirsty for forgiveness, for joy, for peace, for salvation. Are you thirsty? When you are thirsty, you need water. Advertisements for Gatorade, thirst is a desire waiting to be quenched. They would tell us there's nothing like a good thirst. But I found that nothing beats my thirst like plain water. If I have been out in the sun working up a sweat, I find that drinking water replenishes me. It gives me back this energy that I need. Because water is what I need, it is essential to my existence as a living physical being. If you are thirsty spiritually, then the Holy Spirit is what you need. Our God's holy presence can give you hope and peace and joy that you thirst for. Through the Holy Spirit, you can receive the love of God, the assurance to hope for the future, and the acceptance you crave. Only through the Spirit, which comes from above, can you receive the forgiveness and salvation that Jesus bought with his own blood for you on the cross. If you are thirsty, or if you know someone who is thirsty, come to Jesus. He said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." If we believe in Jesus Christ and we let Christ be a part of our lives, then the Spirit will flow out of our lives. What are we ashamed of then? What are we afraid of? The Spirit was there to nourish us, to comfort us, to give us strength and courage. As I read about Jerry, Catherine, Regina, and Steve, they thirst for different aspects in life. They thirst for meaning and purpose and fulfillment. They thirst for acceptance, direction, hope, and peace. They thirst for assurance, for affection, for love, and hope. They thirst for forgiveness, for joy, for peace, for salvation. They thirst spiritually, where they need the Spirit to be a part of their lives so they can feel the Spirit guiding them through those times and giving them hope, giving them acceptance, giving them strength, courage. If you are thirsty spiritually, then the Holy Spirit is what you need. Through the Holy Spirit, you can receive the love of God, the assurance to hope for the future, and the acceptance you crave. Only through the Spirit, which comes from above, can you receive the forgiveness and salvation that Jesus brought with his own blood for you on the cross. We sang the song Amazing Grace, a song that allows us to acknowledge what Christ has done for us and how that's amazing for us that Christ died. But also, as Christ died, Christ said he would promise the Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives so that we could live each day being comforted, having hope, having love. If you are thirsty, if you know someone who is thirsty, come to Jesus. He said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." So out of our hearts shall flow rivers of living water, because we have the Spirit living within us each and every day. Just as water is essential to the human body, so also Christ's living water is essential to the human soul. And so at the Feast of Tabernacles, Christ offered living water as an alternative to the drink offering on the last day of the festival. Unless you thirst in your soul, you will not seek for Christ's living water. But if you thirst for it, you will find it and receive many blessings. Jesus Christ alone has the living water that you should thirst for. Water that is not seasonal. Water that never dries out. Water with healing power. Water with protective power. Water with provision power. Water with salvific power. So come, drink Christ's living water. Come and gorge on Christ's living water. Drench ourselves in the living water. Soak yourselves in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he said to the people of Israel at that time, the Jewish community, that yet the Spirit would be coming, and he was providing them that living water, he did on Pentecost Sunday, provided us the Spirit to live in us, to be a part of us. That was the living water that wells in us and continues to let us go and believe and have hope and know, and inspires us to follow Christ. Come and drink. Let the Spirit of God well up in you. Then let it flow out of you for the world. So as we have the Spirit of the living water well up in us, we want to share it with others so that they too can know who Christ is and what Christ has done for us and how they too can have the living water, the Spirit of life living in them. Jesus didn't just give it to the woman at the Samaritan well, but he gave it to all people, all of us as well. Come and drink. Let the Spirit of God well up in you and let it flow out of you so others may see Christ living in you. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you, first of all, for letting your Son live in this earth, living amongst us, and then offering his life for us. But at the same time, we thank you, Lord, for the promise Jesus said that he would send the Spirit to live amongst us. And he asked us to come and drink if we were thirsty. Lord, we are thirsty. And we've come and we've drank. And now we rejoice because the Spirit is living within us. But Lord, if there are some here this morning haven't come forward and drank this, Lord, we pray that you would allow them to do that, that you would work in their heart so that they would recognize that they are thirsty for the living water and they want the Spirit to be living within them as well. Lord, we are thirsty for this living water to live within us. And we rejoice that the living water is in us, renews us each day, and gives us what we stand in need as we dig into your word to learn more about who you are and learn more about the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
May I lead you in a congregational prayer. Gracious God, you are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of our hope. We praise you today, O Lord, because you are the all-powerful creator of heaven and earth. We praise you today, O Lord, because you have created beauty and given us the ability to delight in it. We praise you today, O Lord, because you have been ever faithful to your people, including us. We praise you today, O Lord, because you give us not what we deserve, but so much better. We praise you today, O Lord, because you are sovereign over heaven and earth and are working out your design even today. We praise you today, O Lord, because you have chosen us to be a part of your kingdom effort. Lord, we lift up our prayer for those that are persecuted in their land because they follow you. We pray for the millions around the world who have fled their homes because it is not safe, who have been traumatized because of violence they have seen and endured. Lord, we think of the refugee family we wish to sponsor. We ask, Lord, that the paperwork will flow through quickly so they can come here and begin a new life. We also ask that there will be volunteers to help them adapt to their new surroundings. We thank you for the Lighthouse and the work they do with refugees and new people coming to this country in Toronto. Bless Rob Dadima and the other staff there as they work with the people there. We ask that you will give counsel, wisdom, and insight from your Holy Spirit as we lead this congregation. We wish to honor you here in Richmond Hill and bring your word and good news to this area. We are concerned about our finances and trust that we will be able to continue our ministries here. Dear Father, we want to pray that Canada will be a country that honors and serves God. That Canada will be a nation which demonstrates righteousness, justice, compassion, and generosity, that the Holy Spirit will bring a spirit of individual and national repentance across our land. That individuals and leaders will seek and demonstrate forgiveness. We pray for the spiritual strength of the nation and all its leaders, for those who serve locally, to those who serve federally and provincially. Lord, we give thanks and praise for our youth programs, that we have great leaders and opportunities to reach out to our community through them. Thank you that they may enjoy some time off now and be renewed. Bless their efforts as they plan for the new season coming up. We give thanks to the success of the summer camps that have happened so far. Thank you for the team of youth that leads it and that they continue to enjoy the work that they do here in the community. We thank you for the leadership of Pastor Doug and that he and his family will have a great vacation where they get to make great memories together. That also this time will be a time of renewal for Pastor Doug. We also think of Phil and Jeanette as they wind down their time here and head back to help the people of Tanzania, that they will continue to be a blessing there. We remember Mark Capon and her family as they mourn the loss of Mark's mom. We also think of others who have recently lost loved ones as well. Lord, we boldly ask that Brenda Bernouche's brother, Greg Helama, will be healed of the cancer that has invaded his body. We ask that the chemo will work against the cancer and for Greg to be able to handle the side effects. be with him and his wife as they travel weekly to Chicago from Wisconsin. We also pray for Paul Bernouche's sister that we pray that her cancer has not returned. Lord, these things concern us, but at the same time we celebrate with Jeff and Kayla and Carl and Caitlin as they were married this past week. We ask that you will bless these couples as they begin their married lives and that you are a central figure of their marriages. We praise you today, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that your living water will flow from our lives. We pray this in your name alone. Amen.